We say no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Will Bowen, number one international best-selling author, founder of A Complaint-Free World, and the world authority on complaining. Can you believe it? This is already lesson number four. Again, give yourself a round of applause. You're staying with it. And thanks for the comments and questions posted in the comments section below. This way, I can stay connected with you. Just so you know, I'm not able to answer every question or comment every day. However, I will respond within a few days, a week max. So let's stay connected. Like I said earlier, I don't mean to brag about it. Hey, you are working directly with the guy who started the complaint-free movement. I can help you. More than that, I want to help you. My joy comes from the stories I receive from people whose health, relationships, businesses, and happiness have improved from completing the 21-day complaint-free challenge. My wife owns an awesome yoga studio in Kansas City. It's one of the largest and most thriving yoga studios I've ever seen. Her studio is doing so well because her joy doesn't come from the numbers of people who take her classes. It comes from how many students she's able to help graduate to the next level of class. Because the only way to get to the next level is to become more fit and flexible. Well, the same is true for me. It's all about me helping you get to the next level. It's helping you get unstuck on day four in the complaint-free process so that you can move forward. And it's about celebrating with you when you succeed. This is why I'm here with you via this members area. Speaking of celebrating, let's talk about how you're going to celebrate when you reach your 21 days complaint-free. You know, that's a big thing. It's important to begin to see yourself celebrating because it will fuel your fire to keep switching your complaint-free bracelet. By the way, what day are you on? If you're on day one, and for most people, it's a good chance you're still on day one at this point, then you're doing great. Yes, you are. You probably think you're not, but you're doing great. This is all part of the process. If you're on day nine and feeling fine, terrific. If you're on day one and having fun, awesome. You're still with us. So the real question is, what's it going to be like when you make it? Well, first of all, you're going to email me. Seriously, I want to know because I want to celebrate with you. You know, I know how much of a challenge this is and how fantastic it feels to complete it successfully. I also know that by the time you've gone 21 days in a row without uttering a single complaint, your health is going to be better, your job will be better, your relationships will be better, you'll feel happier, and I want to hear about it. For me, that's like taking someone up to the next yoga class. When you successfully complete the 21-day complaint-free transformation, I know that you've done something great, and I want to celebrate with you. So, I know you set your complaint-free goal date. That was your homework from lesson two. Now let's talk about that day. I want you to get a clear idea of what you plan to do. Create a celebration plan when you complete the 21 days complaint-free. Are you going to call or text your spouse, your mom or your dad, or your best friend? Are you going to post on Facebook? How do you think it'll feel? What are you going to do? I will send you a personalized certificate of happiness. Now, why do we send you a certificate of happiness instead of a certificate of being complaint-free? Because as I've shared with you previously, the number one benefit people receive from becoming complaint-free is feeling happier. For someone to complete 21 days in a row without complaining, they have to go months watching what they say to make sure it's positive. Becoming a complaint-free person means that you begin to see life from a more positive, happier point of view. And that's why, once you've gone 21 days without complaining, No matter how long it takes you, I'll send you a certificate of happiness with your name on it, just like this one, celebrating your success. So, now that you've set your complaint-free goal date, and you've now created a celebration plan for that day, let's get back to helping you succeed. Let's revisit your homework first. What's great about me is? You were to write out 10 different things that are great about yourself every day. What's great about me is? Man, I hope you did this, and I hope you'll keep doing this. You know, I know this sounds like New Age psychobabble and may even seem a little silly, but remember, we aren't doing this to try and just pep you up for a day. Although when you did this exercise, I'm sure you found that it added to your energy and confidence. No, we're building a case that you are a good person, a person deserving of love, fulfillment, appreciation, prosperity, fun. You deserve anything you desire. Complete the sentence. What's great about me whenever you can? This is actually a very important element in accomplishing anything truly significant. Let me give you an example. Suppose someone you admire and you appreciate and you enjoy and you like asks you to do something. You know, even if it takes a little bit of effort, you're likely to do it. Now, on the other hand, what if a person asking you to do a favor is a pain in the neck? You might not be so likely to help them out. It's just human nature, right? Well, most people, not just those struggling with insecurity, most people have a propensity to downplay what's great about themselves and overinflate their shortcomings. Some of us were taught to be humble, and others were even criticized when they said positive things about themselves. You have some negative self-talk, just like everybody, and the best way to wash it away is not with positive self-talk. No, I'm not talking about positive self-talk. I'm talking about the truth. Again, this isn't just to pump you up. It's to make you aware of how great you really are so that you feel good about yourself. Why? Because if you feel good about yourself, you'll want to do yourself a favor. Complete the 21-day challenge. People who have healthy self-esteem are more likely to follow through on their commitments. Let me say that again. People who have healthy self-esteem are more likely to follow through on their commitments. You will succeed faster at the complaint-free challenge because you're doing it for someone you admire, you appreciate, and you like. And that person is you. So again, remember that if you dislike yourself, you're not likely to do nice things for yourself. Makes sense. Shift that, and you'll become complaint-free more quickly. Plus, you'll also complete the other important tasks and learn helpful skills more readily. Again, why? Because you're doing it for a buddy, you. And you know what? This is not about being super complimentary. Just be honest. When I do this exercise, I don't say, "What's great about me is my lush head of hair." Not anymore, anyway. But there was a time. Today, I might say, "I have great green eyes," or "a great smile," or "a good voice." The fast track to massive change is changing for someone you like. Ask yourself, what's great about me? 10 times a day. Pick a short patch of road and make that your "I'm great because" drive. As you drive that route, answer the questions. What's great about me is? Finish the sentence. What's great about me? It shouldn't take you more than a couple of minutes. And during that time, you'll remind yourself that the person you're doing things for is pretty awesome. That person is someone who is going to complete the complaint-free challenge. Because that person deserves the awesome life that waits on the other side. And you do. So far, in Module 1, we learned how people complain to get attention. Module 2 goes into great depth on complaining to remove responsibility. Module 3, the previous module, explores in detail how people complain is how complaining rather is actually a ruse to appear superior to other people, and so they inspire envy. And today we get into the big one. I've been looking forward to this. I want to share this with you within the context of gripe, the P in gripe, which is power. People complain to gain power. Now, this may seem a little foreign to you, but bear with me. I think there's actually, this is actually one of the most common reasons people complain. And it's also probably one of the ones that people are the least aware of. In fact, I'll bet you've complained to get power and you didn't even realize it. So let's begin with the question, what is power? I mean, what is power? The definition of the word power is the ability to control people and things. Let me say that again. The ability to control people and things is power. The ability to control people and things. Power is just that. Now, here's something that seems to upset some people, but let me lay it on you. Everyone wants power. That's right. You, me, the little baby in the swing, the little old lady down the street, everyone wants power. Now, here's why I say that. Let's play the game everyone's played since they were kids. Let's play the three magic wishes game. If you could have three wishes, what would they be? You do have at least three things you'd like to have, right? Okay, what are they? Okay, you know what you want. Now, if you could control people and things, you'd have those things on your list, right? Take a second, think about that. We all have things we want. To obtain those things, we have to control in some way other people and things. That's why money so often equals power, because with enough money, you can control most people and things. You know, I've heard of top bands, huge stars, playing to small groups simply because someone had enough money to hire them. In fact, I was fortunate enough to meet Kenny Loggins at a small event at a country club in Kansas City. He performed for an evening, high dollar, small crowd. Oh, and if you're wondering how I happened to go, one of my best friends was hired to play piano with Kenny that night, and he got to bring a buddy. I don't remember who the host was, but they had the power, which is nothing more than the money to pay enough for Kenny Loggins to play a private show. There are people who want the power to bring world peace. People who want to end starvation. People who want to elevate human rights. People who want to stop global climate change. People who want to see AIDS gone from Africa. And so many other wonderful, incredible things. And all of them take power. The ability to control people and things. I have good friends who have dedicated their lives to bringing working hospitals to the poorest people in Tanzania. And they've built several medical facilities in poverty-stricken areas. And it takes power to do this, the ability to control people and things. So, let's go with the fact that we all want power because it's good for us. And hopefully it's something we want to use to whatever extent we have it, to help other people. Having some level of power in our life is essential. People who feel disempowered often suffer from malaise or depression. When you think of power, what do you think? What constitutes power to you? Is it money? Is it being a celebrity? Is it a political leadership of some kind? What is power? Now, let me tell you that there is one power that's bigger than all others. It's the power of people. If you have enough people, you're already halfway to being powerful, because remember, power is the ability to control people and things. Get enough people and you have the power to control things as well. The pyramids of Egypt, They were built with the power of people. Gandhi cast the British out of India using people power. If there had been only a dozen or so people standing with Gandhi in nonviolent protest, the British would have ignored them. Nothing would have happened. But a free nation was born because Mahatma Gandhi had millions insisting that India be independent. They were totally committed to two things. One, the British leaving, and two, remaining nonviolent. And that changed a nation. It wasn't just nonviolent protest. It was the power of the quantity of people in nonviolent protest. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. ignited the civil rights movement during the Montgomery bus boycott because people were willing to plod along in the Alabama heat rather than be carried on segregated buses. People power holds true in business every bit as much as in societal change. You know, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak may have created the personal computer, but today it takes 110,000 people worldwide, at last count, to create, produce, and sell and maintain hundreds of millions of Apple products worldwide. The most powerful thing on earth is people. You know, we think that the most powerful thing on earth is water, but people constantly reroute rivers, create lakes, and change oceans. People are power. I once did a live training for 1,200 high school students. I wanted to demonstrate the concept that people are power. So I had the football coach bring out five of the biggest, baddest kids on the football team. These dudes were huge. I then asked for five kids who didn't feel like they were very athletic. They got to self-select to come up and stand next to the football players. Next, I asked the rest of the kids, how many of you think that the football monster all-stars would win in a tug of war against the regular guys? Every hand went up. Of course, five huge muscular guys pulling against five not-so-strong guys. I then invited the smaller guys to go and get five friends. Who'd win now, I asked. The five football players or the 10 other guys? About 70% of the kids still raise their hands for the football players. Okay, I said, go get more kids. So each of the 10 went out and got another student, making it now 20 against 5. When I asked the question this time, the kids overwhelmingly thought the football players were going to get creamed. Enough people equals enough power every time. And what is one of the best ways to attract people? Complaining. Complaining attracts people like a picnic attracts ants. Complaining attracts people through a process I call enrage and engage. You know, if someone is sitting peacefully on the side of the road and you walk up and say, come, join my cause and together we'll make the world a better place, they may or may not follow you. In fact, probably not. It sounds noble, but kind of boring. Now, if, however, you say, come, join my cause, and together we'll stop kittens from working in sweatshops or whatever, if it's sufficiently upsetting, it's far more likely that they'll join your side. I have a good friend who was a minister of a happy little church in a small southern town. The church was financially healthy and the people loved each other. There was a management change, unfortunately, in the faith, and someone was sent to work with my friend who was obsessed with church growth. The community's health and happiness was not important to this guy. Butts in the seats is what he cared about. My friend asked him, exactly how do I do that? How do I get more people in? And the guy answered, find something in the community that they find upsetting. Pick some cause and complain about it from the pulpit. It doesn't matter what it is. If it upsets them enough, they'll come in droves and they'll bring their friends. Now that's a true story. Luckily, my friend couldn't do this, so he resigned and became a hospital chaplain. Years later, he happened to run into the minister who succeeded him, and he asked him if the scare tactics had worked. And the other minister said, "Oh, yeah, they worked. And now, instead of a small church of happy people, I've got to deal with a big church full of angry people." Complaining draws people together into a group that can become an angry mob.
We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.